public bathrooms and transgender rights. The whole country's been arguing over that lately, and here in Washington, a group called Just Want Privacy is collecting signatures to overturn a state law that lets trans people use the bathroom of their choice. Just Want Privacy says this is all about protecting women. Our next guest now says that idea of protecting women in public bathrooms showed up about a century ago in this country when the first public bathrooms for women were built. She says the idea comes from Victorian tradition, along with some junk science. Shannon Keating is the LGBT editor at BuzzFeed. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What is the connection between building public bathrooms for women and protecting women?
So the first public bathrooms for women were mandated by law in Massachusetts in 1887. And by 1920, 43 other states had joined. And the reason that those laws were originally on the books was because of those laws were aimed at factories, which was a result of social anxieties over women leaving the home and joining the workforce. And they were those elements combined with panic over the spread of disease, and also the Victorian preoccupation at that time with modesty and privacy. So these laws were meant to protect women at the same time that evolutionary biologists were kind of peddling the theory that women were mentally and physically inferior. So the separated bathrooms was supposed to keep women in their own safe little spaces away from the world of men.
You mentioned Victorian preoccupations and junk science, but people have been separating men and women for thousands of years, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, of course. But this separation particularly came about because, especially for public spaces built for the middle and upper classes, those worlds were built for men. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily a question of separation from the get-go. It was a question of, these were spaces that were built for men. How are we going to retroactively fit women into these spaces?
The argument against letting trans people use bathrooms that are consistent with their gender identity is that men are going to claim gender identity as a reason to go into women's restrooms, and then they're going to leer at women or they're going to assault them. And you say this is not a new argument.
No, it's definitely not a new argument. There's always been a kind of boogeyman in the bathroom since the beginning of gender-segregated bathrooms. During the Civil Rights Movement, the argument that black men would prey on white women in bathrooms was a popular argument for not desegregating public bathrooms.
And you also point out that the bathroom, I hadn't really thought about this before, but that the bathroom is the site of many a horror movie scene. Have horror films amped up our fears that men are going to attack women in bathrooms?
I think they both amp them up, and they reflect those fears, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bathroom has always been a site of all of our cultural anxieties around power and sex and shame and privacy. And you can see that reflected in a lot of our most famous horror movies. I mean, in the most famous horror scene of all time in Psycho is with a kind of a genderqueer villain attacking a woman with a knife in a shower.
Right.
You've got The Shining when Jack Nicholson is bursting into the door, Nightmare on Elm Street, that famous scene of Freddy Krueger's hand coming up through Nancy's legs. And the bathroom has just always been a site where, especially when it comes to female victimhood, where we kind of lump all of our anxieties around the delicacies of women and possibly being attacked.
And then you get the 80s comedies where men want to sneak into bathrooms and gawk.
Yes, the sneaking in and gawking, imagining what's going on the other side of the bathroom. And it's interesting because in those 80s movies, that's kind of seen like, oh, you expect that boys would want to see what's going on in the other bathroom. When it's straight boys kind of fantasy, that's just like, oh, boys will be boys. But then on the flip side, when you have these horror films, when you have this more kind of like the queer deviant that's monstrous, you can kind of see that link to now the idea of the trans predator who, for whatever reason, we consider to be far scarier than the more normalized idea of straight men imagining what's going on in women's bathrooms.
talking with Shannon Keating, who is the LGBT editor at BuzzFeed. And we've been talking about the history of gender and bathrooms. And let's look to the future. And I suppose it's happening here and there. Do you think gendered bathrooms are on their way out?
I mean, I think we have a long way to go. I think clearly with all of these arguments popping up nationally and with groups who are using trans people as scapegoats and telling them that they shouldn't be allowed to use the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity means that I don't think that necessarily gender-neutral bathrooms are going to be right around the corner, but plenty of architects and advocates who are advocating for gender-neutral bathrooms aren't just thinking about trans people, even though they are thinking about people of all identities, but an equitable bathroom would also be a place that is accessible to people with disabilities, that's accessible to families. Bathrooms separated by gender have long since been a way that lends a lot of awkwardness and anxiety when it comes to same-sex families trying to take their kids to use the bathroom. There's lots of different ways that throughout the history of gender-segregated bathrooms, they've perpetuated these kinds of inequities, and I don't necessarily think they're going to go away right away because they've always been these sites of anxiety, and trans people are just the latest people to kind of be used as a reason why we shouldn't have gender-neutral bathrooms.
Shannon, have you used gender-neutral bathrooms, and what's your experience? What are they like for you?
I have used gender-neutral bathrooms. I mean, I live in New York City, and a lot of restaurants, more modern restaurants, have gender-neutral bathrooms. And I think a lot of the time when people use them, you don't even really notice it. I think the future in terms of the ideal gender-neutral bathroom is kind of a long bay of stalls that are floor-to-ceiling, so basically a bunch of different single-stall bathrooms all grouped together. And then around a different corner, you maybe have like a bay of sinks. Plenty of people have used these bathrooms without really thinking about it. These are also self-monitoring spaces. Like when you have these arguments about safety, a lot of trans advocates say that gender-neutral bathrooms that are kind of all alone, a single stall far away, can actually be more dangerous as opposed to a public space that's self-monitoring and everyone in public is mixing.
Shannon, I've got 5 sisters and 3 brothers, and I don't give a damn what gender is next to me. Honestly, I don't think of it, but I did a little survey of coworkers, and they brought up things like, well, I don't want to, you know, whatever it is, comb my hair, put on makeup next to other genders. What about you? The whole tradition of you're out for an evening and you leave your dates at the table and you go freshen up with your buddy. What are we losing, if anything, by moving away with the gendered bathroom?
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. They definitely, even though they also carry those kind of like dark anxieties in bathrooms, they've also been a site for kind of community and people coming together. Like especially for women, the bathroom can sometimes be a safe space. But at the end of the day, it's not a safe space for everyone. If you have a butch lesbian, doesn't necessarily feel that sense of community or safety in a bathroom that's filled with women doing their makeup, or for trans women or drag queens or people who are assigned female at birth or assigned male at birth, rather, who use makeup, don't feel safe in the men's bathroom. So gender is such a different experience for all of us. But if we only consider the experiences and prioritize the experiences of cisgender people, then you end up kind of leaving out all these people with different gender experiences who are actively harmed by the separation of bathrooms.
I understand that, tell me if I got this right, that when you see a single stall bathroom and there's a men's and a women's, you'll use the men's room.
That is true. I mean, slowly different localities are starting to kind of do away with the law that that gender-neutral single-stall bathrooms should be segregated by gender, but I think that's just the silliest thing in the world. It's just a single room. There's nothing gendered about it necessarily, and it's not hurting anyone. So if there's a really long line for a single-stall women's restroom and there's another unused single-stall men's bathroom, we'll use it.
Okay. You're not bringing in, is it like a little protest? Is that the idea?
I mean, not even a protest, but the other aspect of of inequities with bathrooms is that women, for multiple reasons, those bathroom lines can get incredibly clogged, both because there typically are less toilets in a women's bathroom than there are urinals in a men's bathroom, just
right.
because of space issues, but also because, for biological reasons, cisgender women just tend to take longer in the bathroom. So that leads to, I'm sure you've seen scenes at stadiums or concerts where there's just huge, huge women's lines and like a really short men's line. So when it comes to imagining an equitable bathroom, the idea would be to have two toilets for every urinal or two women's stalls for every men's stall. So I guess you'd call me using a single stall restroom a protest, but I really just think of it in terms of like pure practicality, which
right.
is, I think, the way we should think about restrooms.
Sorry, urinal manufacturers.
Well, we can still have urinals too, but maybe we just don't necessarily need to gender them.
Right, okay. I take it you're not wearing flowery Victorian perfume that's going to make the guys come in and say, I think there's been ladies in my space.
No, I don't think they'll notice at all, actually.
Okay. Shannon Keating, LGBT editor at BuzzFeed. It's been great talking with you about the history and the present and future of bathrooms and gender. Thanks a lot for this.
You too, thanks.
It's KUOW's The Record.